We're turning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40. And our text is found in verse number 29. So that'll be on page 740 in the Church Pew Bibles. Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Our text is this: He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. We have in this chapter a wonderful message of God, which brings comfort and blessing to his people. This chapter comes in quite stark contrast to the previous chapters. And if you were to look at the book of Isaiah, you could quite easily divide them into two distinct parts. You have the first part, the first 39 chapters, that come more with a message of woe and of judgment. And then you have the latter 27 chapters that predominantly deal with blessing and comfort and promise. And as you go from chapter 39 to chapter 40, you see quite clearly that divide being shown here. If you just scan back to chapter 39, you see that you have some historical narrative, and you have the details of King Hezekiah, where on one occasion he was puffed up with pride and he decides he's going to show off his wealth and of his possessions to the people, to the visiting Babylonians that had come to visit. He was a godly man. He was a man who feared God, a man who served God. But yet on this occasion, he was filled with pride. And so in verse 4 of chapter 39, he shows the Babylonians all that he has, and he declares that he's not hidden anything from them. And because of this display of wealth, because he was proud and boasting in what he had, God comes to him with a message of judgment. Verse 5, "Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So judgment is promised. And it wouldn't affect him directly, but it would be his offspring, his descendants. And it would be the very people that Hezekiah was showing off his wealth would be the ones that would come and carry it away. But for all of Hezekiah's weakness at this point, we find in verse 8 that he submits to the word of God. He is careful in his approach. He demonstrates his humility. He said, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." And so for all of his weakness at this point, we see something of his humility before God. And so chapter 39 ends in judgment. But then as you come to chapter 40, immediately we find the Lord comes through his servant Isaiah to his people with this word of consolation, with this word of comfort. In the opening verse, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And so you have our attentions being drawn now to having our strength renewed, to having that consolation, that peace that comes from God. And in many ways, the whole of chapter 40 is dealing with the blessing and the promise and the prospect of God's people. And we haven't got time to look at all of this, but we will look at verse 29 and look at this text here. He giveth power to the faint. And I want us to look at two things: the cause of the fainting, and secondly, the cure for the fainting. Firstly, the cause of the fainting. The immediate context of our verse finds itself with the Lord challenging the view and the perception of his people. They were saying something like this, that God doesn't see what is happening to us. God is somehow removed from our circumstance. He is somehow not aware of what is happening. We find in verse 27, that they say, "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." They fail to understand. They fail to recognize that God is eternal. God is the creator. God is the Almighty One, the one who does not faint, the one who is not weary, the one whose understanding and wisdom cannot be searched out. In other words, there's no limit to it. There's no end to it. And God comes to his people and says, "He giveth power to the faint." What is the Lord meaning here when he speaks about giving power to the faint? What is this fainting? Is he speaking about physical fainting? Perhaps when somebody collapses? Well, as you go through this passage, you see that this is not a physical message that he's bringing. He's speaking about spiritual issues, because I haven't seen any of the Lord's people spring wings and soaring like eagles. And I don't think the Lord's people are the best at running marathons, and at the end of however long it is, 23 miles or so, that they are not weary or anything like that. This is speaking about spiritual issues, spiritual fainting. But what we have is a helpful illustration that God uses of the physical that can help us to understand the spiritual message that he is bringing. And so, the physical fainting. I'm sure we may have experienced this ourselves when we have fainted, or we have felt faint, or we have experienced somebody else feeling faint or who has fainted. If somebody faints, then they collapse, they have no strength, there can be disorientation, and it will take a while for them to recover. The causes of fainting can be varied and many. In physical terms, it's important we know why somebody has fainted. If you collapse in the streets, an ambulance will be called. You'll end up in an emergency department, and then work begins on trying to identify the reason for your faint, your collapse. They may do blood tests, they may do x-rays, ECGs, scans, you name it, they'll try to do it. And very often things are not found, or nothing significant is found. But the important thing is that they do investigate, because sometimes the fainting can have a more sinister cause. It could be that we've just missed a meal, but it could be that there's an arrhythmia in the heart. And so it's important that we find out why we have fainted. As you look at the Christian life, you see that there are times when we feel like we are spiritually fainting. We feel so overwhelmed that we don't know quite how we're going to face the next situation. We don't know how we could bear another burden. We don't know how we can even face tomorrow with the potential difficulties and problems that tomorrow might bring. We feel so weak. We feel disorientated. We feel that all strength has left us. And so we can feel faint. It's important to note that this is a temporary affliction for God's people. There are times when we feel faint, we'll be revived, and then later on we'll faint again and we'll be revived. But this is a temporary affliction. If we are faint, then it suggests that there has been strength, that there has been standing. And so this is talking about the people of God who have these episodes in their life when their strength fails them, when they are not able to bear what they once were able to. And so these are things spoken to people who are spiritually alive. When we think about our standing before God, there was a time when we were spiritually dead. Well, there's no fainting when we're dead. We are dead. But when there is life, then there can be fainting. And when the work of God, the Spirit of God, comes and illuminates the heart, brings life into the soul, we find that there's now life and we're spiritually alive to God. But there are times when we faint. This isn't the experience of the ungodly. They don't spiritually faint because there's no life in them. Pastor J.C. Philpott, back in 1845, preaching on this text at Zohar Chapel in London, took verse 29 as his text. And he describes the causes of spiritual fainting by relating them to natural collapses. And as I read through it, I thought, well, I can't really improve upon it. But this is what he put. He put that there are three. You could have more if you wanted, but he identified three. There is the heavy burden that can cause us to faint. There are the wounds that can cause us to faint. And there is that denial of food and drink that can cause us to faint. We know that if we have a heavy burden, and when we overexert ourselves, we can faint. If you look at some of the soldiers up on Salisbury Plain, or when they're on exercise, they're required to carry those heavy packs on their back, and then they have to go on these arduous treks, hikes and runs. All is going well, but after a period of time, they become weaker, and they are not able to continue. Their strength leaves them, and they collapse, and they faint. The child of God can at times have heavy burdens to bear. It may be we have a heavy burden for loved ones. It may be that they seem very far from the Lord. They seem very opposed to the things of God. It may be that we have a heavy burden, that they are very concerned with this world and they are allured by it. It may be that we are concerned for the burdens that they are carrying, that they are going through. It could be a grief over the sins that they're engaged in. It could be all kinds of things that may be a burden to us. But there is a time when that heavy load can weigh us down and it can cause us to stumble and to faint. It could be the burden we are caused to be weighed heavy under. It could be of a temporal nature. It could be that we have worries about finances. It could be that we have concerns about health. It could be concerns about security. It could be, what does the future hold? What am I going to do? What am I going to live? All these kind of things can weigh heavy upon us. It'd be wrong to say that once we're a Christian that all trouble disappears, that there's no difficulties in life. That would be wrong. That's not what the scriptures teach, and that is not what history teaches us, and it's certainly not what our own experience tells us. When we go through life, there are heavy burdens that we are called to bear. The children of Israel were often burdened because they forgot the provision of God, and they were overwhelmed, and they fainted. The burden may be that we bear could be of guilt of sin. Sin which has been forgiven, sin which has been cleansed, but yet the reminder of its guilt remains. And it can be particularly heavy when the devil comes and he accuses, and if he could, he would try and weigh down our burden even further. He says, call yourself a Christian. I know what you have done. I know what you are thinking. I know how you have behaved. People could see how you operate in private and secret. If your mind was displayed for everyone to see, then they would utterly despise you. And we can find the burden of our sin can weigh us heavily down. Other burdens we may bear could be the bombardment of temptation. It weighs us down. We don't quite know how we're going to carry on. We struggle to stand under its influence. And we wonder whether the godly can survive in such a wicked, fallen and perverse world. And so we can feel weighed down. This can be a cause of fainting, the burdens that we have to bear. Another reason why we might faint is the wounds that we experience. Wounds can, if they're significant enough, lead to fainting. If you're to go on a first aid course, one of the first things you'll be taught is the importance of slowing down blood loss when a wound has developed. You want to prevent shock happening. If you lose enough blood, then collapse will be eventual. If you look at the sufferings of the Saviour, after he had been whipped and scourged, when he had that crown of thorns upon his head, he'd been beaten and bruised. There is no wonder that as he is called to carry that cross to Calvary, that he required the help of Simon the Cyrenian. He was weak. He was fainting under the pressure and under the loss due to the wounds that he had sustained. Well, what are the wounds that we may be afflicted with? Where you have those fiery darts of Satan, how they can wound if they land upon us. How is it that we can extinguish them? How is it that they are dealt with? By holding high the shield of faith. That's looking unto Christ, holding him up. But when our eyes are moved away from him, when our faith is drooping, then those darts can hit. What do these fiery darts consist of? I'm sure you've experienced it. You've been thinking perhaps about wholesome things, nothing sinful. You're not engaging in open sin, but suddenly an impure thought comes straight into your mind. Or perhaps you've settled down to pray and you're praying and suddenly your mind is diverted, your mind is distracted. You're taken away from where you ought to be and where you want to be. These are the fiery darts of the evil one. And these fiery darts can wound. And if these wounds are not dealt with, if these wounds are not healed and covered, how it can lead over time to fatigue and weakness. And there are times when we can feel so overwhelmed, so disorientated, that it may even lead us to question whether or not, because we have these fiery darts come at us, whether our salvation is genuine or not. So you have the wounds that are caused by the fiery darts of Satan. Sometimes the Lord will wound his people. He brings his chastisement upon his people. He brings his discipline in love upon them. Always for our good. We can think about the wandering sheep. How does a good shepherd lead and guide? He uses the rod and the staff. The staff corrects. It pulls back when we're going in error. God can sometimes wound us and take away our natural strength so that we become weak, so that we might depend more and more upon him. We find the Lord, he wounded Peter after Peter's denial. Think about how the Saviour afflicted him, brought those wounds to him. He says to Peter, "Do you love me?" How that word came to his heart and how it was a wound in his soul. We see how the Lord would be dealing with him in order to restore him. Sometimes we will faint because of our sin. Our sin becomes like an open sore. It becomes that running wound. We're infected by indwelling and unconfessed sin. What happens? We become weaker and weaker, spiritually speaking. And then it can make us more susceptible to other attacks. And we will become weak and faint. So you have the fainting that we can have. It can be through the burdens we're called to bear. It can be through the wounds that we experience. It can also be through the denial of food. You know, if you miss your breakfast, if you miss your lunch, you miss your dinner, the next day you're likely to feel quite weak and in need of food. Elijah, as we thought about over the last few weeks, at different points, he became weak. And the way in which the Lord began his recovery was to give him food. We know that if we don't eat, we can experience low blood sugars. And if we don't drink water, we become dehydrated. And these things, they can make us weak and faint. In spiritual terms, we can become fatigued because our souls have become malnourished, or they're depleted of what they need. If we deny our souls the food that it needs, then we will become weak, we will faint. I'm sure we can all testify that when our scripture readings, our personal devotions wane, then our spiritual life and vigour, it wanes as well. When we become isolated from Christian fellowship, then we can become weaker and we begin to faint and collapse. We find in the prophet Amos, he would speak concerning judgment that was coming. It was not a famine in the land, nor food, but of the hearing of the word of God. And there can be times when we experience a famine of hearing of God's word. Sometimes it may be through willful neglect on our part. Sometimes it may be through circumstances that we're prevented. Other times it may be that we are going through some illness that prevents us gathering with the Lord's people or having the ability to read his word. But whatever the cause, we will find those times, if this continues, when we will become weak spiritually and sickly. So what is the cure? We thought a lot about the fainting and the causes. What is the cure? Well, what is so wonderful that although the cause of fainting can be so different one from the other, the cure is the same and it is amazingly simple. This is different to the physical. If you've got a heart arrhythmia that's caused you to collapse, you don't want the doctor to come and give you a jam sandwich to bring up your blood sugar, because that's not going to help you when you go out and you leave them. Well, in spiritual matters, it doesn't matter what the cause is, the cure, it remains the same. And so what is a cure for our fainting? We read in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. He, God, gives what is necessary. Our fainting causes weakness, and he is the one that gives the power. And the power that we have here is real power. And what a blessing we have that when we are at our weakest spiritually, God has that promise to infuse us with that power that comes from him. The particulars of how this power will be administered and the dose of that power is his prerogative. But the power and the ability for us to revive our strength and to be renewed comes from him. So the source of this power, this source that deals with our fainting, comes from God. It doesn't originate in ourselves. It doesn't originate in other men or women, but it comes from God himself. And having considered verse 28, that this is the Creator. This is the everlasting God. This is Jehovah, the self-sufficient God. This is the one that gives this power to the faint. God is the source. And if you look at the causes of our fainting, you see the source that we have to go to meets the needs that we have. When we think about the heavy burdens, we read from 1 Peter 5, that we are to cast our burdens upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. We have promises in the word of God that when we're in the time of trouble, to call upon him and he will deliver. When the devil comes with his attacks and with his suggestions and with his accusations, we can have confidence that we can look to one who has promised to turn the scarlet into the white as snow, the one that turns the crimson into the wool. We can look to one who has provided that way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whatever our cause of fainting is, then it is for us to look to the one that gives the power, the triune God. We see how suitable he is to give this power. Again, in the context, we have Isaiah recording the greatness of God. You have the descriptions of him being eternal, the creator, the wise one. But you also see that he is the one who fainteth not. The one that is promising to give power to the faint, he himself doesn't faint. He doesn't deteriorate. He has that ever-flowing, that continuous supply of grace that is needed. If we're concerned about our burdens, we have one who is well able to help. If we're concerned about our liability to yield to temptation, then we have in Christ the great high priest who is touched with our infirmities, yet without sin. Whichever way our weakness manifests itself, God, and in particular in Christ, is the remedy. And he is the one that does not faint. He is the one that doesn't become weary. The power that is promised comes from one who is all-powerful. And his ability to meet our needs will not be diminished. So how does this power of God work in the weak and in the fainting? What are the scenarios? Well, there is that power to believe. There is that power that we see first off at conversion that continues throughout life, that believing, that laying hold upon the promises and the purposes of God, that God has promised, so therefore he will fulfill. There is that gift of faith to lay hold on that which is not seen. And so the Lord in his power will give power to believe. He'll also give power at times, depending on the circumstance, to persevere. How was it that Job continued? Why was it that he didn't end his life at the end of chapter 2? It was because God gave him the power to continue. He hoped in God. In the Psalms, the psalmist felt overwhelmed by everything. He felt cast down within himself. What is the remedy for him? It was to hope thou in God. He gives power not only to persevere but to endure. When you consider the affliction of the saints, how is it that they continued? Why did they carry on those courses in their life? Read through Hebrews 11. Read through the martyrs. Read through Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you will see that men and women, even boys and girls, gave their lives because God gave them that power to endure. When Stephen had those stones falling upon his head, what enabled him to have that face shining like an angel? It was that he was infused with the power of God. On other occasions, the Lord, in his power, in order to revive and to give power to the faint, he will give us the ability to rest, the ability to wait. Sometimes we need to be reminded that God is God. He is sovereign. He is the judge of all the earth. He is righteous. And the Lord gives power to submit to him. That was Hezekiah's experience in the previous chapter. Although God promises judgment will come, Hezekiah could wait upon the Lord. He could rest in the Lord, knowing the word of the Lord is good. We find that at times when we are anxious, when we're fretful, when we're overwhelmed, then the last thing that we can do is to rest and to wait. But when the Lord gives his power to the faint, they can endure, they can wait, they can rest. Even though it goes contrary to what the world would say, it goes contrary to how their natural hearts would say it ought to go, but God gives them that peace which passeth all understanding. And so we may be going through times of illness, times of bereavement. We may be going through all kinds of situations. God at times will come, and in his giving his power to the faint, will give them the ability to rest and to wait upon him. So the Lord gives this promise. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth the strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful promise to the people of God. He promises to give power to the faint. The question comes to us, though. Are we counted amongst the people of God? Are we identified as being his people, the one that he gives power when we faint? Well, the way to him comes through repentance and faith in Christ, confessing our sin and looking to Christ alone. If we are a child of God, then there will be that certainty that we will faint, but there is that ready remedy by God that he will give his power And he will administer that power with a correct dose according to the needs. And that power enables us to believe, to persevere, to endure, and to rest in him. May we be those who have our strength renewed, not through our own resource, but because he alone gives power to the faint. May the Lord help us and apply his word to our hearts. Amen.